Revelation chapter 3, if you would. I've had a couple verses of Scripture going through my mind for the last couple months, really. And it's these two verses here, the Lord's impressed on my heart. And I told Leanne, I said, this is what I'm going to preach on. She said, again? And I said, well, there's no telling how many messages the Lord can give you out of one passage of Scripture. But I'll tell you what's been on my heart over the last couple months, I guess, at our place and different places everywhere we go. Things that we hear from preachers and everything is that we're losing what we have. And we're losing it pretty fast. And you ought to thank God if you got a church, if you got a place where you can come, where the preacher will still stand up and preach it the way it used to be preached. Amen. Give you the whole counsel of God. Not all in one message now, mind you. Amen. But, I mean, preach the whole counsel of God. And just, you ought to thank God for that. If you can go to a church where the Spirit of God moves and works, then, boy, I'll tell you, it is not like that everywhere. Amen. And I was telling Brother Unger down at Brother Jimbo's place that, you know, you can travel days in our country and not get in a good church. I'm talking about days. You could probably travel 3 days out of my place and travel across Canada and in places and never get to another Bible-believing church. Church that preaches the Word of God. And I'll tell you what's happening, and it bothers me because I grew up in a good church, and I thank God for good churches, places like this and all that, but I'm scared about what's happening. I really am, amen. And I know we're living in the Laodicean age and the last days and all that kind of stuff, but I don't want to be that kind of Christian, amen. The verse says here in Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 1, he says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Father, I pray that you'd help this morning, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. And Lord, now we thank you for the message that we've already heard, God, how it challenged our hearts. Lord, we pray that you continue to work, God, and we give you the praise and glory for being here this week, God. Already it's been a good meeting, good preaching. And Lord, I pray that you continue that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple simple things here in these verses, verse 1 and 2. The first thing I notice is that there are things that are already dead. You know, here in this church, he said, "Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." So there's things that's already died. And, you know, when you talk to, I talk to my grandmother sometimes on the phone, we're talking about things. And I imagine all of the changes out there in this life and in this world. She's 85 years old that she has seen in her lifetime.
Right.
I mean, it's a foreign concept to me that there was actually a day when vehicles were the exception rather than the rule. But she's seen those days. I mean, all the changes. I mean, I remember when we used to go visit them as children. We go to their house. Did you have party lines down here for phone? You know, you'd get on there and you could listen to several conversations.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting. And I remember as kids, that's what we would do. Amen. The phone would ring and Nan would say, "Oh, that's not for us." And we'd wait for whoever to pick it up and then we'd sneak over and see what was going on next door. I mean, it was some pretty interesting stuff. But I mean, now everybody carries a private phone line around in their pocket. I mean, it's incredible the changes. If I was going to preach this morning on the things that have died in our churches, it'd probably be best left to Brother Tab and Brother Charlie. I'm sure in the church, they have seen a lot of things change over the years. A lot of things that used to go, that used to fly, that used to be strong and vibrant things that are now dead. You know what I've learned about dead things? They can't be revived. You know, in our country, we've crossed over some moral and social lines that we're never going to get back. Whether you like it or not, this queer thing, the sodomite, it is here to stay. You are never going to get rid of it. That part in our country, they passed laws to allow it according to the laws of the land. It's never going back. It's dead. You might as well, I'm not talking about stop fighting the fight, but stop spending so much time on that stuff and start paying attention to some things that are not dead yet. Amen. And that's what I want to preach on this morning for a little while is, listen, there's lots of things that are dead, lots of things that are gone, lots of things that's wrong, but there are some things that are ready to die, but praise God, they ain't dead yet. Amen. And we need to strengthen those things that are ready to die. And boy, I know something about that. I've been in church all my life. I got saved when I was 5 years old, you know, raised up in church. And even in my 36 years going to church, boy, I see some things that used to be common practice that, boy, I'll tell you now, in church, they're ready to die. You hardly ever see it anymore. It's the exception rather than the rule. And you know, when things are getting ready to die, strange things happen. I'll never forget the first and only time, Brother Charlie, I was ever in the room with somebody who was ready to die. It was an old man in our church when I went there. His name was Bert Cunningham. And him and this other old lady in the church, Dora Sherman, they weren't married, but they were good friends. Neither one of them was married. And they were good friends, and they used to pick guitar and sing together. And man, when they got up there, I'm talking up into their 70s, they'd pick those guitars and they'd sing and play together. And man, it was a blessing. And God got all over it when they sang. And they were just, you know, everybody thought they should get married, but they just never did, you know. And Bert, he was just a great old guy. He lived a rough life before he was saved, you know. And I'd go over there, and it was one of my favorite things to do was go to Bert Cunningham's house and just listen to him tell stories. Amen. You'd hear all kinds of stuff from other church members, but man, that old timer, he had some good stuff. He had some stories. He'd tell stories about, you know, places that he went. He served in the military, this and that. Sit there and listen. But Bert got sick. And Bert was ready to die. And he knew the Lord as a Savior. He was ready. But I'll tell you, he talked and did and asked for some strange things when he was ready to die. I remember going to visit him in the home. They called me. Actually, they said, we don't know if Bert's going to make it today. And he wasn't very lucid. He was kind of in and out. And, you know, as a pastor, you know, and I was just young, 24, 25 years old. And you know, I went in there to the room and I was thinking, you know, I'm going to give some really, you know, good, I'm going to read some scriptures and we're going to shed some tears and, you know, we're just going to have a time here and I'm just going to stay with him until he goes out to glory. Do you know the last thing Bert Cunningham asked for on this earth? He said, can you get me a beer? Of all the things I was expecting him to say, that was not one of them. He looked me, his eyes brightened up for a minute. He looked at me and said, can I get a beer? And the nurse looked over at me and I'm not making the call on this. And so you won't discredit the rest of the message. I ain't going to tell you what happened after that. No, I didn't drink one with him, amen. But man, I'm telling you, when people are ready to die, they'll do the strangest things. And I'll tell you what, that's what I find in church today. There's some things that are ready to die, and there's some awful strange things happening in church today. I got thinking about a couple things, you know, a familiar verse. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Just for a little while, we'll give you some things that I think are ready to die that we need to strengthen. Amen? We need to hold on to Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 10 if you would. The Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And something that I've watched that's just about ready to die in our churches is when a complete change happens after salvation. Well, I'll tell you, that is about ready to die. I mean, I'm talking about when somebody gets gloriously saved. And I'll tell you, that is about to die. You know, people, Brother Jimbo mentioned, they want some fire insurance. They don't want to have to go to hell. But they certainly don't want to change. They don't want to give up things. They don't want to have to practice separation. They don't want to have to... But listen, I'll tell you what. I remember a day when somebody got saved. They changed. Well, we had a rare exception to this rule a couple years ago in our church. We had 15 people get saved in 1 year. You say, that's nothing. Oh, we saw 15. It's something for us. Amen. And I'll tell you what's even something better. They're all still in church. I remember going to a youth meeting one time in Louisville, Kentucky, and they paraded this girl up there and put an award on her for winning 360-some souls to the Lord that year. And then they brought a boy up there. He won 200-some souls. And I'm thinking, good night, where are they? It's a miracle when somebody gets saved and they actually stick with it. And man, I'll tell you, we had this one lady, and there's other ones, but this one lady got saved at our church. Some of you know her, Sherry Walker. And boy, I'm telling you, she got it. I'm talking about a changed woman. I'm talking about nobody preached it to her, Brother Charlie. Nobody had to tell her how to dress. Nobody had to tell her what music to listen to. Nobody had to tell her to stop saying certain words. Nobody had to tell her that, you know, those movies weren't no good. She just got rid of it all. I could not believe, I hadn't seen that since I was just a little bitty child, amen. I'm telling you what, it is getting ready to die in our churches when somebody gets saved and makes a change. Amen, I'll tell you what, she used to wear revealing clothing. Yeah, you walk into their store, it'd be, you know, country music or rock music. And listen, I promise you, I never preached on music. I never preached on dress standards. I never preached on movies. You say, what did you preach on? Didn't have to. She got saved. She got changed. Boy, I'll tell you, that's about to die. Some of you made 300 professions of faith and you hadn't changed. I sit down at Brother Jimbo. I know that sometimes when you're raised in church, you make a profession at a young age, and then later on, you know, God makes it real, and you get assurance here. But good night, every youth camp, you got to get resaved. Couldn't you at some point? Hey, I'll tell you what I found out. It's easier for kids to get saved again than it is to get right.
Yeah, right.
Actually, to practice biblical repentance, my dad, I'll tell you, he had no problem humiliating us. When it came to sin, man, I got caught one time doing, it wasn't a real big deal, you know. You know what he made me do? I'm not telling you what I did. He said, son, this Sunday, when we get the youth meeting together Sunday afternoon, he said, you're going to go before those young people, you're going to tell them what you did. He said, what did you do? I did it. Man, I cried like a baby. Amen. I was humiliated. I'll tell you what, but I thank God that I had a dad. Amen. And you know what? Because of that, because I was held to account, I didn't question myself.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes, hey, maybe it's time we hold them to the fire a little bit. Amen. And squeeze something out of there. Because you know what happens? They just get saved again. I'm seeing that happen everywhere. Everywhere we go, oh yeah, so-and-so got saved. Wait a minute, didn't they get saved last year? And the year before that, and the camp meeting over there, and then over there? I'll tell you what, something that's ready to die is when somebody gets saved and they change. Well, I'll tell you, Sherry Walker changed. Man, they're losing business, Brother Charlie, because... they're losing business because when you walk in there, I mean, they deal in antiques, you know, an antique jewelry. They got a big old display case set out there in the front of the store. You've seen it. And, you know, all this jewelry, I mean, thousands of dollars. And right in the middle is a King James Bible. And it says, if you want one of these or have any questions about this, ask. When you walk in there now, you hear Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Not sung by Randy Travis. It's not Carrie Underwood's gospel album.
It's actually people that know.
I've been born again. Yeah. You know, there's very few people can say that.
Yeah, amen.
It's about to die, I'm telling you. It is about to die. And you know what it's time to do? It's time to get a hold of some real deal salvation. Amen. A no-so salvation. Sometime, you know, you've got to get it settled. And then there'll be a change. Then there'll be a real change. Look at Psalms 119. I'll give you another one. Psalms 119. Leanne was telling me the other day, my nervous tick is saying, you know. So how many am I up to, Leanne? She counts my you knows. Psalm 119, 165.
Yeah, I sure did.
And I love her. Amen. You know, this one here, verse we know, great peace of they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, I think that Webster has not... I've said that at a good time, didn't I? I think that Webster's dictionary has not updated that definition for nothing. I think it still means nothing. But you know something that's ready to die in our churches is Christians that cannot be offended.
Yeah.
That's good.
Offended over, and it's ready to die. I'm telling you, it is ready. I mean, offended over the leap. And some of you are sitting right here. You can go to your pastor's office, offended over this, or upset over that, or you didn't like how this was done, or how that was carried out, or because you know the snack bars cost you too much. And I'm telling you, Christians that cannot be offended in our churches, it is ready to die.
Yeah,
and I remember when preachers peeled the paint off the wall, and it didn't offend people. They got right with God. He didn't do that. I'm upset. Well, I wouldn't do it. I like it, man. Pull down the big screen. Show a video. That'll hair lift most people. Amen.
Yeah.
Offended over everything. Amen. I think about the seed that was sown there in Matthew chapter 13, talking about when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word. By and by, he is offended.
Yeah, amen.
Aw. Man, I'll tell you. Hey, this is, I don't know how many of you know Brother Don Green, but we were in a meeting with him one time, and the pastor said, you know, we want all the young preachers to come over here with Brother Green, and I'm going to tell a story on him now. But he said, come over here with Brother Green, and he's going to tell you some stuff. And you know, one of the idiots sitting there is this young punk. He says, Brother Green, you know Brother Green, he preached against everything. If you did it and it was okay, he preached against it. I mean, I'm talking about the pleated pants, the cowboy boots. I mean, you name it, wiring, glasses, the whole nine yards. You know, besides the radio, the television, and all that other stuff, you know. And he said to Brother Green, he said, Brother Green, he said, do you really still believe all that? He said, oh, brother. He said, I don't really make a big deal of it anymore. But if I stop preaching against it, they think I've compromised. You say that's horrible? I think that's great.
Yeah.
That guy is sitting there, man, he's sitting there thinking over that thing, and I'm thinking, I like this man better and better every day. Yeah. I mean, man, that is good, man. But I'll tell you, Christians never used to get offended over that stuff.
Right, man.
What I remember, and you know, I only remember it off the tapes and stuff, but man, I remember the church shouting. Hey, man, I remember hearing about souls getting saved and altars filled. Brother Lackey, I only had to earn my tape, but he was rocked. Yeah. I got some R-rated things on cassette tapes that Brother Lackey said from the pulpit. Well, woo, man, I remember being 14 years old thinking, you're allowed to say that in church. But everybody that was at those meetings, man, they tell about the revival and how God worked and how God... Now everybody gets offended.
Yeah.
Christians that cannot get offended is ready to die.
Yeah,
it's ready to die. Man, you need to get a thicker skin. Amen. I mean, you know, it's a shame when we have to say, well, you know, if you get mad or upset, well, you can just get up and It's a shame you have to have those backdoor revivals, but such thin-skinned Christians.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, get some thicker skin or something.
Amen. I need the church. My name didn't get mentioned, or this didn't happen, or I didn't get to sing, or this.
Nothing still means nothing.
Yeah.
If you love God and you love His Word and you love God's people, you will not get offended. Hey, I'm not talking about false doctrine or something like that, but I'm pretty sure around here it's been a pretty good track record with Brother Charlie. Brother Charlie, now Brother Scott, he's going the same. I'm pretty sure you're not going to hear false doctrine.
Right now.
Well, it's your thin skin.
Right,
and I'm telling you, it's ready to die. You know what? We need to toughen up a little bit.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's just some observations. I know it's a pathetic little message, but you know, sometimes you just get up and scratch an itch. Well, I guess maybe that's what I'm doing. Amen. Most of the time when I preach, that's what it is. Do you know, thank God for church members that have never come to you, preacher, and said,
"He's preaching right at me."
Yeah, that's the idea, stupid.
I'm
not preaching to the lost person over there in the house. God put you here, God put me here, and now you're hearing the message. Preaching right there and that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember hearing all the time growing up, you know, we don't preach for results. We don't preach for results. And then Brother Charlie came up to our church. Well, he ruined me in a lot of ways, but he got up there in our church in December of 2005 and he said, "I preach for results." And everybody went, and I thought, man, that's pretty profound. I do want to for results.
Right.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to change me. Yeah! Well, you're just trying to pull me to the office. Yeah! That's the idea!
Come on, help yourself.
Thank God for preachers that preach for change. Man, everything would be dead if we didn't.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." You know, another thing that's dying in our churches is church kids that maintain their integrity through their teenage years. I'll tell you, it is dying. It is dying. My dad had a youth meeting back in March, and there was a preacher from New York. Don't hold that against it. I didn't pick him. My dad did. Amen. Preacher from New York. And he was up there, and I'm just joking. He smiled. Nothing against the Yankees, except Brother Bill down at Brother Jimbo's church. He kept calling me and Joey Yankees, and I had to fix that. And this time he came up to me and he said, "Brother, I remember not to call you a Yankee." We're Southern Canadian, y'all. I forget why I even said all that, but anyway. But yeah, he was up there, and there was about 60, 65 young people, and he said, "How many of you young people got cell phones?" And three kids. I'm talking about ages 12 to 20. Three out of 65 had cell phones. And he asked the question three times. He said, "No, how many of you..." I said, "Bro, it's the same word up here as it is down there for cell phone. It's cell phone." He could not believe that those teenagers didn't have cell phones. But you know what? That's just what we are preached to about. I'll tell you what else is almost dead, and it's not even one of the points, is Christians actually following the preacher just because he's the preacher. That's about dead, but that's what we did. The preacher said it was wrong. We got rid of it. I remember when an evangelist from the U.S. came up and preached against the television, and I remember a 52-inch getting shot up with a 12-gauge shotgun in the churchyard. You say, "Well, that's stupid." Well, maybe it was, but the preacher said it was wrong, so he got rid of it.
Yeah.
I remember days like that, but that's not ready to die. That's dead. I think that's in the dead category.
Amen.
We may as well not even go there. It will not be revived. It's not going to make a comeback. It is stone cold dead. That idea of following the man of God because he's the man of God. That's dead.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what's ready to die is church kids that make it through their teens and maintain their integrity.
Amen.
Why? Because they won't flee youthful lust.
Yeah,
amen. The Bible says in Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. It's ready to die, I'm telling you. Church kids, I'm finding out, church kids are some of the most wicked you're ever going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about lost kids. They're lost. They need salvation. They need to come to know the Lord. That's all they need. They need one thing. But I'll tell you, kids that sit on church pews that profess godliness, profess to know the Lord, I'll tell you what, it's about ready to die. No integrity. They can sit there under some of the hardest preaching. They can be pinpointed. They can be named out by name. They can be pointed out in the crowd and still will not change.
That's right. Amen.
It's about, I don't know what it would take to reach young people. And listen, I know there's exceptions to those rules, and I actually think the younger crop of kids, I think we have a better chance with some of them than we got with the teenagers we have today. And I'm not saying that to discourage you. I mean, I love teenagers. But I'll tell you, to find some that will make it through their teen years without ever looking at pornography, without ever messing around with a girl before they get married, without ever taking the name of the Lord their God in vain, without ever cussing, without ever doing a lot of the things that are... I tell you, it's very, very rare.
Yeah.
And it's very, very sad.
Yeah, Richard.
Very sad. You say, well, what do we got to do? How do you... Well, he says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse the way? By taking heed.
Yeah.
There too, according to thy word. They got to start listening to the book. I mean, not just when it's preached behind the pulpit, but actually have some parents that enforce the reading of it, enforce the study of it. If it is indoctrination, it is brainwashing. We got to have that. Because I'll tell you, we are losing young people by the droves. They can't make it through their teen years. And then when they get to adulthood and get to marriage and get to the place where God wants to send them on a course for their life, there's so many scars and so much baggage. And so I mean, man, if you could just get through it without having to look back with 100 regrets. Hey, you'd be worth it.
Yeah.
Ready to die. It's time the adults. You start taking some young people, put your arm around them, invest in them, tell them you love them, help them, encourage them. They need to make it.
Yeah.
It's ready to die. It's ready to die everywhere, I'll tell you. We're in trouble. You know, he says, flee also youthful lust. Man, there's some things you got to run away from, but there's some things you got to run to.
Yeah.
And the things that you young people need to run to, those ought to be the things that we have patterned before them. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Man, I'll tell you, if we want this brand of Christianity, if you would, that we've got here, if we want it to survive, I'll tell you what, we need our young people to make it.
Right.
We need them to make it to the marriage altar pure. Amen. We need them to be able, like Samuel did, to actually hear the call of God.
Man.
We need them in our church pews. Hey, they need God, they need church more than they need minimum wage down at the local grocery store. They need God. We need them to want God. We're losing them. It's almost dead and gone. We had youth camp last year. It was our first time up there at our camp property. Man, it was great. And God impressed on me, I want this camp to be a place where kids that want to do right can come to get strengthened. Hey, there's enough camps that cater to the rabble-rousers. But we had a couple there that was from another church, and you know, they came, and they, you know, and it was three girls. And you know, after one of the messages that somebody, a preacher, wasn't even me, they cornered me. And they said, you guys here at this camp, you're not doing this right. And you treat the boys better than you're treating the girls, and you're doing this. And I'm telling you, all that kind of junk is prevailing in our churches.
Amen.
It is. It is. It's something that's ready to die. It's ready to die. This is just a simple one. You know the verse, Hebrews 10:25, but a consistent church attendance is ready to die. We've been preaching on it. Brother Charlie's generation, before that, my generation, preaching on Bible reading, prayer, faithful church attendance. And people still can't get that right. You know, there's only a few core families that I've got that I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it does not matter what happens, they will be there.
Amen.
There's all them ones, I'm not sure. We hear preachers all the time that preaching about, the way I was raised, that the church doors were open, we were there. That's just about ready to die.
Yeah.
It's on life support. I couldn't make it. I had to. Man, I remember when whole church take the week off for camp meeting. Everybody. That's at our place, that's here, that's everywhere. The place was full, as full in the morning or fuller than it was at the night.
Yeah. Amen.
But that ain't no more.
Yeah.
It's ready to die. Say, man, this bothers me. Good, that's the idea.
Right.
Amen. That's the idea. It's like the old grumpy guy that will never go to the doctor until someone says, if you don't go get some help, you're going to die. And that's where we're at with some of this stuff. We don't get help, we're going to die. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Familiar passage again, verse 1-3 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot me out, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. I'll tell you, what else is ready to die is a clear-cut acknowledgement of the truth.
Yeah.
Good.
Amen. Man, I know as a preacher, when you preach, sometimes you preach it and you just see God's people, we know it's true. You got good pastors, good churches, but the acknowledgement of it. That it's me, O Lord.
Yeah.
Stand over me first.
Right?
You know what? There's a chance if I don't get things straightened out, I might lose my young people.
That's right.
If I don't get things right in my heart and my life, maybe there'll be some things that in my life that's going to go wrong.
Come on, preacher.
Maybe there hasn't really been a great change in me since I've been born again. Instead of just acknowledging it for everybody else. Amen. We went down there to the USS Alabama. That was pretty cool. Down there at that battleship. And reading all that history and everything. But I was reading about that, I don't know if it was the Alabama or the Mobile or what it was, but one of those things. And I was reading about those kamikaze pilots, those suicide bombers, how they just come in there and they, if that battleship went out to war, but he refused to acknowledge the damage. Well, there was one of those ships that was hit 3 or 4 times and man, they'd patch that, fix it, adjust it and go right back to war. Yeah. But you know what? If they had not acknowledged, we've been hit. They never would have made it to fight another day. Man, I'll tell you, that thing sits there. It's impressive. You drive up, man, you see that thing sitting there. And I'm Canadian, and I'm thinking, awesome. We're standing there under those big guns, and I'm thinking, man, can you imagine being in that little metal cage, getting ready to shoot that thing, and kaboom! And I'm thinking, yeah!
Yeah.
And then we went down to the bottom and we're reading all about how it'd been hit here and it was hit. Just imagine if the captain had decided, hey, I know that we're in trouble, but I don't want to think about it. I'm just going to push it aside. I don't want to acknowledge what's going on here. Let's just keep going. And eventually, they would have lost everybody on board.
Amen.
I'll tell you, the acknowledgement of truth.
Right.
Is about to die.
Right.
God has blessed me with some of the greatest preachers to me that there are. And I love them and I appreciate them. They preach to me and preach to my family and preach to my children.
Yeah.
Man, I'm thankful for the times I can look back on. I remember 2 years ago up at our meeting, and Brother Charlie was there, and different ones, you know, and God got moving, and Brother Joe was there. God got moving, and man, families. A girl that we've been praying for in our church for years finally got, and she was a hard-hearted little girl. Man, I've never seen a young girl like that. But I remember the night she got saved. Man, God started moving in there. And I'll tell you, it wasn't because of just little milky preaching. It wasn't. It was because some people somewhere along the line acknowledged the truth.
Yeah. Amen.
I got a problem. It's me. I need this. This is not just for everybody else. This is what I need.
Right.
Man, I'll tell you, God moved in there. Man, it was one of the best. I mean, pastors had their whole churches gathered around. We were all praying together, everybody in the church and the family. I mean, it was one of those really, really good services. But I'll tell you what, they're ready to die.
Yes, sir.
And the reason why is because nobody wants to acknowledge the truth.
That's right, sir.
We know we have a problem,
yeah,
but we don't want to admit it.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you lastly, what's ready to die? What's ready to die in our churches is a conviction. A Holy Ghost conviction,
yeah,
that'll bring a man to an altar.
Right. Yeah.
Man.
It's getting ready to die.
Amen.
Oh, there's songs. There's songs that'll bring you to the altar.
Right.
Come on, bro.
There's some good songs, man. I'll tell you. That I Have Been Blessed song, man, we have sung that and still, in the right setting at the right time, boy, that song will move people to an altar. Man, there's songs that you can sing. That old song Brother Combs sang for all those years, you know, about thank you, Lord, and all that. That'll bring people to the altar. There's songs that'll bring people to the altar. There's good messages that'll bring people to the altar.
Right.
And man, you hear them all the time. We heard some last night. People came to the altar. That's good. I'm not trying to. But I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction that'll bring a man to the altar.
Amen.
There's a lot of emotional things that will get you here. But something that's ready to die is God.
Yep.
The Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Yep.
Actually stirring in your heart.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where you're willing to come and back. You say, how do you know? Because so many times we get up, we go back, and nothing ever changes.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Amen. That's how you know. It's the message that got you there. It's the singing.
Right.
Yeah, that's what God. It was the setting. It was all this stuff, but it wasn't God. Because I'll tell you, when God gets you there, there will be a change.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you, we're losing things fast.
Amen.
And if we don't get some of God's people that will say, I see it, I see it, I can see it in my life, I can see how it's happening. Look, it's not them, it's me.
Yeah.
Get yourself on an altar. And strengthen those things that are ready to die. We're going to be in big trouble.
Yes, sir.
I'm worried about the church we're leaving for my children.
Yes, sir.
I'm worried about the youth meetings they'll be going to. It'll all be entertainment and sensationalism and, you know, rock and roll music, and there won't be any of this old-fashioned Bible preaching anymore if we don't strengthen the things that are ready to die.
Right.
Amen.